I can only imagine when Moses came down off the top of the mountain. If you want to, you can come forward. When Moses came down off the top of the mountain, there was an amazing glow upon his face because he had been in the presence of the Lord. And surely, you can tell when people are in the presence of God. Here this morning, the presence of the Lord is in this place. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And all you have to do is just acknowledge it. Because surely the presence of the Lord is here. Now I can tell you that the Holy Spirit just set me on fire up here. Glory be to God. God is awesome, everybody. God is marvelous. God is grand. God is everything you can ever imagine, and then much more. There is no human element, no human language, no human description that can describe who God is and how great He is. Sometimes you just got to be quiet and allow the Spirit to move and just show you and touch you and have His way in you. Because at that moment, you can't say anything. You can't tell people what you're feeling because God is so good. And there are other times in which, like his daughter did last week, standing before me, just weep. And I can tell that the presence of the Lord was all over her, just moving on his daughter, letting her know how precious she is to him. I know he did that to you last week. I'm not going to call out because I don't want to embarrass her. But I'm here to tell you, Don, there's going to be times when you're going to be driving in your truck and the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. And you're not going to know how you got from point A to point B. You go, Lord, I know I was driving, but how did I get here? One day I was driving to Ocala when I worked at the prison there. And the glory of the Lord came in my truck. And the Spirit began to move, and all I could do was, Don, this is a true story, all I could do was let go of the wheel and just cry out. Now, I'm going 60 miles an hour down the road, and all I can do was let the truck go. And there was a lot of curves in the road. How I got to law prison, I have no idea. All I know is that I was crying out to God, just crying, and the presence of the Lord took over. And when you're in the presence of God like that, can't no harm come to you. Come on, somebody. When you're in the presence of God like that, can't no harm come to you. Because you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And God is so awesome. Jesus is so awesome. He's so wonderful. Sometimes it's hard to describe him, what he's doing and how he's doing it. All you know that the Holy Spirit is at work. And you know that he is. And today, in this blessed book, you're about to see some stuff that you've never seen before. I don't know how to preach this today, but he does. Are you hearing me? That's why I'm so glad that I'm not Sammy Nelson led. Amen. But Spirit led. Because I don't know what he's going to do today. I know he's going to do something. Are y'all ready for the presence of the Lord to continue with you? I tell you, God is awesome in this place. I'm telling you. What we're about to see here in a few minutes, if God's presence is so awesome now, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you see Jesus face to face? Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you stand before God on that day, not as an enemy of God, not standing in judgment, but standing as a son and a daughter? Can you imagine what that's going to be like when Jesus looks over at the Father and says, "This one's with me. This is the one you gave me. And Father, all of these children that you gave me, I haven't lost one. They're all accounted for, Father." Can you imagine you being in that number? When the Son of the living God tells his Father, "Mike, that's my son. That's my son." And the Father says, "I know, I gave him to you." Because Jesus says to the Father, "Said, all that you gave to me, I haven't lost one." Read John 17. That's a testimony about you and me. He hasn't lost any. And newsflash, he doesn't plan on losing any either. Amen? And no matter how wretched and how horrible your life may seem right now, if you've been born again, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you belong to Jesus. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. It can't nobody take it out of there. The Holy Spirit will complete the work that God began in you. I don't care how much hell you raise, how much confusion you may cause, you belong to Jesus. You will see him face to face as his son and daughter. And when the Father looks at your life, he'll look at a spotless life. There's no evidence that you had ever sinned against God, because Jesus took and washed your sins away. He washed my sins away. So that when we stand before God who is holy, you don't have to stand there with your knees knocking, wondering whether or not you're going to get cast into the lake of fire. You will be standing there wearing white robes, knowing that you belong to Jesus. That's what it's going to be. We haven't even got to the text yet. Ain't God good?
Yeah.
So let's go before the Lord in prayer. I don't want to outrun the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you so much that you sealed our fate by the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is that seal. He's your evidence. He's your down payment to us that we belong to Jesus. And on that day, our eyes will be open and we'll get to see the blessed Holy Spirit just as he is, as he escorts us into the very presence of you, Lord, and of your Lamb, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there we will see all the other saints around the throne praising and worshiping you, and all of the holy angels and all of the holy creatures bow down before you, and the 24 elders casting their crowns before you, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come." And we'll never get tired of saying that. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that this morning we have the testimony of Jesus Christ in us. For the testimony of Jesus is prophecy. It brings life to those who are dead. It brings strength to those who are weak. And it brings healing to those who are sick. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Father, for sending him, for doing the work that he did to redeem us. We love you and we honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. As we're continuing on in Revelation chapter 19, how you doing, my brother? It's good to see you. This is Mr. Jim, everybody. He loves the Lord. He's from Plantation Oaks. Folks, as the Lord catapults you into the future, imagine where you are now. It's sometime in the future. And this worldly system as you know it has been decimated. It has been destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The world as you know it today, you will see it as such no more. And there's a great celebration going on in heaven right now. The first part of the chapter tells you and I that we're going to be celebrating because the Lord Jesus Christ has just destroyed the biggest and the most powerful evil force on earth, the whore of Babylon. Okay? We got to understand that God is at work here. And God is incredibly going to be exalted on that day. And so as we see in the first few verses, the saints of God are having a celebration in heaven because they're looking down on earth and they're seeing this grand city, this grand government, this grand system that has corrupted people's lives for so long has now been destroyed. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Amen. God has given it a fatal blow.
Hallelujah.
And not only are the saints in heaven celebrating, but the saints on the earth is also celebrating. Because he just told them, come out from among them. Come out of her. Come out. Let your life be different. Okay? You've been in this worldly system long enough. Come out. Okay? Make a difference now. Come out and allow your light to shine, the light of Jesus Christ. You remember in Jesus' very first sermon, known as the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about a light, a lamp, okay? Does a man take a lamp, put it in the corner on a table, and then he put a bushel basket over it? No. He said, does it do that?
No.
No. He said what he does, he takes and he set that lamp up on a stand so that it will do what? Light the entire room. Folks, that's your life and my life. We are the lamp of Jesus Christ on earth. And God is telling you and I through this blessed book today that we're to allow our light to shine. Why? So that men can see the good works of God that's going on in us and glorify the Father who's in heaven. So it's now time for the true children of Christ to stop hiding.
Amen.
Stop hiding and be who you are in Christ Jesus. There's no need to be ashamed. There's no need to be, what do you call it, timid? No need to be weak back. It's time to stand up.
Amen.
Time to stand up. Okay? And not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Speak out loud.
Okay? Speak it out. Let the world know. Be vocal about who you are. Be vocal in your words. Be vocal in your ways.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And if they don't want to hear it, you tell them to leave, not you leave.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Preach it.
And when they go to leave, kind of get smart with them a little bit. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you a Holy Ghost smart to give them. You tell them, oh, by the way, where are you going to go that my father don't own the real estate?
Right.
Yeah. Huh?
True.
Where are you going to go? What ground are you going to tread on that God doesn't already own? Because he created it all. Amen?
Amen.
And so it is now time that God's children stand up and not be ashamed. Like that teenage boy, that junior in high school, I forget what state, that they literally took this boy to court and they lost him. Because he was telling his classmates about Jesus. He took out his Bible and he began to tell them, Don, about Jesus. And they tried to slam him and told him that he couldn't do that. And the Supreme Court says, yes, you can.
Amen.
Okay? And so we won't know what we're capable of doing unless we step out and do what? Do it. Make some waves. Pardon the expression? Make the devil madder than hell.
Amen.
Okay? Let them know who you are. So Revelation, we're going to start at verse 6. The first five verses, man, it's a great celebration. It's a cry of a triumphant victory, okay? Whenever the king would come back in from battle, the hometown folks would be waiting. And they wouldn't be waiting to spit on them. Hello. They wouldn't be waiting to call them baby killers. They was waiting because they know that their king had just won the victory, not only for the army, but for them. And they appreciated it. Jesus Christ won the victory where? On the cross. Now, Paul gives us a beautiful, beautiful description of that victory in Colossians chapter 2. He said, Jesus despising the shame of the cross. What does that mean? He was stripped naked. I told y'all that last week. And he did what beyond that? He didn't care that he was hanging naked. His mama was out in the crowd, folks. Which one of you guys want to hang naked in front of your mama? Hello. I know I don't. But imagine, he was also hanging naked in front of his what?
His father.
Not discounting what taking place on earth, but his father. And the Bible tells you and I that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, despised the shame. Okay? He didn't let it stop him from doing what he had to do. And he took his enemies, he vanquished them in the presence of God in the spirit world, where the Roman soldiers couldn't see, where John them standing at the base of that cross couldn't see, where the religious leaders of Israel could not see. Okay? They could not see the fact that the Son of God, while hanging on the cross, at the same time was in heaven.
Amen.
In heaven, carrying down the corridors of God, carrying a golden vase full of his own blood. And he walks into the throne room of God carrying his own blood. If you don't believe me, read Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 13. It lays it out in detail. He's walking there, and he walks up to God, who's sitting on the throne. And keep in mind now, God knows what's down here. Mm-hmm. He knew what was taking place down here. Physically, in the physical realm, his son is hanging on a cross. People down on the earth are mocking him. But unknown to them, while they're cursing him out, while they're hurling insults at him, he is standing before God, making intercession for the whole human race.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. That's worthy. Okay? And he's standing there. But it doesn't stop. He must complete the mission that his father sent him to do. You know what that mission is? That it had to be a blood sacrifice. God required a blood offering. Are you hearing me? God required a blood offering. And the Son of God walks up to God himself and takes his own blood and he pours it on God. Mm. Ooh. Come on, somebody. He takes his own blood. I know it's graphic, but you got to get this. Because if you don't understand this victory that was won in heaven, you will not understand the victory that's taking place now in heaven. So he walks up. In the Old Testament, it said the high priest poured the blood on the mercy seat. That was the Ark of the Covenant, that golden box that had the wings of the angel, the cherubim, facing each other like this. And that flat part of that seat, the high priest once a year would take blood from a sheep that had no spots or wrinkles, okay, no blemishes, okay, not handicapped at all. And he would take that blood of that lamb, and he would pour it on the mercy seat. Now, if he did it in vain, God killed him on the spot. Hello. But Jesus Christ, being who he is, the Son of the living God, came as the Lamb of God. Because we see in this blessed book in chapter 5, it said, and behold, I saw one, that John said, who was like the Son of God. He called him the Lamb of God, standing before God, as he had been slain before the foundation of the world. That's what John was saying. But before he got to that point, everybody, he himself was God's high priest at that very moment. He was God's great high priest over the house of God, the house that was yet to be built. And they call it the church. Come on, stay with me. And there, being the high priest, at the same time being the sacrificial lamb. That blows my mind. And at the same time, you ready? The last one that's going to be declared in this book, he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Standing there with blood. And he pours it on his father, himself. And the father accepted that blood offering.
Amen.
Okay? Yes, yes.
Thank you.
You don't have to be quiet about it. Be vocal. Tell the Lord thank you. You can be vocal and shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. You can get in the middle of the highway and shout it. Why? Because you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
And you tell them, this is what Jesus did for me. Not only for me, you wretched person, he did it also for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
He did it for the whole human race. The very ones who sit and make a decision and said, you can't hang the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. He did it for them. The same one that legalized gay marriage, he did it for them. And the same one that brought forth abortion, he did it for them. Even though daily God's precious innocent ones are being slaughtered in the womb, Jesus still shed his blood for them.
Whether they appreciate it or not.
And the same ones that cry out to Allah, Abba, is the same ones. He also shed his blood for them.
Yes.
He shed his blood for Muhammad also. And all of his followers. And every satanic worshiper, he shed his blood for them too.
So they could be saved and delivered.
Okay? And every drug addict, and every alcoholic, and every person addicted to pornography, and every person that cusses their parents out and say, get out of my face, and every degenerate person, Jesus shed his blood for
them.
Okay? This is the gospel truth. This gospel cannot be changed, folks. It cannot. And so there's a great celebration in heaven right now that the saints of God realize that the greatest enemy of God, except Satan himself, has now been destroyed. The whore of Babylon. Okay? Whenever there's a victory, somebody needs to be celebrating it. Yep. Are you understanding me? And so now that celebration is getting ready to shift. Okay? Not only for what God has done on earth, but now is the consummation of all things. Well, what do you mean by that? That means every soul now that has been saved.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is now to celebrate a marriage that is about to take place. Let's take a look. Take a look. And I heard as it was, verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. That word omnipotent also in the Greek can be translated as almighty. The almighty reigns. He rules. He's sovereign. There's none like him.
Thank you, God.
And none above him either.
Nope. Amen.
Amen.
God has no equal. There's no one in which you can compare God to. God said these words over and over again to the prophet Isaiah, and you can start reading them in chapter 40 and move forward, where God is beginning to describe what we call the suffering servant. And that suffering servant is Jesus Christ. Okay? And he says to Isaiah, he says, I am the only God.
Amen.
And there is no other God Amen. Besides me. And then he puts a disclaimer there, and he makes it very, very personal to the nation of Israel. He said, none that I know of.
Thank you.
Now, if God doesn't know if there's another God, what about you and me?
There ain't none.
And so, the Almighty. This is when you get to stand up before a bunch of heathens, a bunch of atheists, a bunch of agnostics, and you get to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. You get to declare and proclaim out loud, unashamable, that God is God.
Thank you, Lord. Woo.
Nothing to be ashamed of. And when you say it, not only are you saying it with your vocal cords, but you're saying it with your life. You're saying it with your spirit. And the Holy Ghost in you will give you the strength to go beyond any opposition that you will be facing. You got to remember that. That's a very powerful statement in the scriptures.
Thank you, Jesus.
And this, when you see all the minor voices, the waters and all, that's describing people. That is describing souls. That's describing angels in heaven. Everybody in heaven is shouting, the Lord God Almighty, the Omnipotent, he reigns. He is the ruler of the universe.
Yes.
And you know who else is proclaiming that? Jesus. The Son of God is also proclaiming that his Father is God and God alone.
Yep.
And he's the only maker of the universe. And he's the only ruler of the universe. Yeah. No yeah. one yeah. else. Yeah. It's powerful. Powerful. And when you are confronted by the forces of darkness, this is when you stand up and say to them, get out of my face,
thank
devil.
You, Lord. Thank you.
God is God and not you. And this is when you can speak to your situation and your circumstances in the name of Jesus and proclaim, Jesus Christ is Lord and he's Lord over you.
Yes, Lord.
And I belong to Jesus.
He's my Savior.
That's right. Make it personal. Make it known. Make it publicly. And you let heaven and hell know that you belong to Jesus. And not only is the song saying you're standing on holy ground, you can tell them, I am holy ground.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in me.
Thank you, Jesus. Woo.
So this is powerful. It's powerful. It's telling you who God is. And not only is it telling you who God is, it's telling you who Jesus is. And not only is it telling you who Jesus is, it's telling you who you is or are. Amen?
Amen.
And so, looking at this blessed text from the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying that you're about to do something here. Let's take a look. Verse 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him what?
Glory.
I got a question to ask y'all. Woo! I can't have it. If we're going to be giving him glory then, why are we afraid to give him glory now?
Thank you. Yes.
Why are we so quiet in church on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights and on Tuesday at Bible study? Why are we so down, low key? What's the problem? Huh? Because I remember when some of y'all was out there, I didn't know you personally because I was one of them somebodies. Anybody remember Joe Tech? Used to sing, Ain't Gonna Bump No More With No Big Fat Woman. Y'all remember that song? Okay? And we were out there doing our thing, but we're getting down, boy. Okay? And we're having fun. And then they say, let's hear from the east side. We go, whoop, whoop. And, you know, from the east coast and the west coast, and we're partying and having fun. And we're letting people know we're having fun, right?
Yep.
Right. Come on. Some of y'all done that Soul Train dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all went down that Soul Train line. Y'all better quit, American Bandstand. Yeah, y'all Dick Clark folks. Some of y'all. Come on now.
It's the truth.
Okay. NSYNC, Eminem. I know. Uh-huh. Hello. Yeah, y'all ain't fooling nobody. But when it comes to Jesus, you come in and go. And say, hallelujah. Everybody stand up and pray. Get to the football game. Tim Tebow tear down the sideline. Them little girls. Hey, I wanted you to say it. And yeah, Michael, when Gabriel was getting his butt kicked.
Yep.
Pardon expression, in Daniel chapter 10, he tells you and I that he called on that great warrior, that great princess named Michael.
Yeah.
And when Michael showed up, everything turned.
Yep.
The odds were now against the enemy that was jumping on Gabriel, the prince of Persia and his clan. Okay? When Michael showed up, okay? In fact, we read in this blessed book in chapter 12, it was Michael who kicked Satan out of heaven.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
The archangel.
The archangel.
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, there's one greater than Michael is about to be revealed to us. And the glorious of all has already been revealed. The Lord God, the Almighty.
Yep.
Okay? Michael goes and bows down to him. Gabriel bowed down to Jesus.
Yep.
And I said, Master, what do you want us to do?
Thank you, Lord.
He said, you go to a little city called Nazareth, and you tell the virgin named Mary that she's going to have my child. Boom! There he is. And Gabriel is standing in front of Mary and say, highly favored one. Why? Because his master told him to do so. Faster than the speed of light, he came from heaven to earth, and he's delivering God's message. Isn't that something? And all these great warriors in the spirit realm all bowing down before Jesus. Just to give you an idea how great these warriors are, when King David had erroneously numbered the children of Israel, God said, choose a punishment out of three. And David said, Lord, you choose, unless I fall in the hands of evil men and they slew me. And so God said, okay. And a moment of time, Don, 75,000 Israelites fell dead. Just like that. And God opened David's eyes to the spirit world, and David looked towards the threshing floor of Jebus. At that time, Jerusalem was called Jebus. It had not been renamed by King David. And he looked, and God said, there he is. And there David saw the angel standing with a sword out, ready to attack Jerusalem. He had already killed 75,000 of David's countrymen because of the mistake of David. One angel! One! One! Can you imagine what trillions would do to the human race? They'll wipe it out like that if God told them to. And yet, these great majestic beings bow down to Jesus. Woo! Come on, somebody. They bow down to Jesus. They bow down and lay. They won't even look at God. Did you know that? In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah walked into the temple that day, and it, whoa! And he sees the resurrected Christ in the future, sitting upon the throne. And he said, and I saw the Lord sitting high and lifted up. He seen Jesus sitting on the throne. And he said, his train, okay, you know that tail part of his robe, he said, filled the entire temple of heaven. Now that's huge. And Isaiah immediately looked, and he saw these majestic creatures flying back and forth, the same ones that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 4. They're the same one that Ezekiel saw in chapter 1 of Ezekiel. And
I have to ask you, what was it that got the Holy Spirit in you so riled up today?
The Holy Spirit himself. And so here we see Isaiah standing there, hearing these majestic beings say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Yeah. Not once, not twice, but three times he heard them say this. And it said they had six wings, with two that covered their eyes, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. Okay? Why did they cover their eyes? Because they see themselves not worthy to look upon God who's holy. We're the ones that got pride. I'm not scared of God. Are you kidding me? If an angel is afraid to look at God, what do you think you're going to be?
Thank you, Jesus.
Look at Revelation chapter 1 when John appeared before Christ in his glorious state. John said, I fell at his feet as dead. Because John had never seen him like that before. Young Daniel, that great prophet of God, he's standing there by the river, and all of a sudden Jesus Christ appears. And when Daniel looks at him, Don, he faints.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he had never saw anyone like him. The glorious appearing of Christ make the natural man faint. Up on the mountaintop, Peter, James, and John. On that mountaintop, you read about it in Matthew 17. There, as Jesus began to transform himself into pure light, they freaked out and fell on the ground. Their faces was to the ground. And the Bible tells you and I that they were so afraid. They had never seen Jesus like that. And there he was standing, talking to Moses and the prophet Elijah. Moses, when he used to go in the presence of God, used to think God was going to kill him. Because the glory of God is so great.
Yep. Thank you, Lord.
As I was riding back from Gainesville yesterday this way, and I was thinking, as I seen the bright sunlight, I was coming in at dusk, and as I was driving in that direction, Don, understand, he drives 18 wheel. He does this all the time, drives into the sun, don't you? And it blinds you. And I'm thinking as I'm driving, what about the glorious appearing of Christ? What about when you and I see the glory of Christ bust that cloud wide open? What do you think the sky is going to do? The Bible tells you that the sky is going to split, and there the Son of God will appear in his glory. And everything that his glory touched, if it don't belong to him, it's going to destroy it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Praise the Lord.
The glory of the Son of God. The very brightness of his countenance will destroy people.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, ma'am. Because he deserved it. And so, what's taking place in heaven? All of God's children who's been raptured into the presence of the eternal God is now praising with the angels. You've been wondering, you and I have been wondering all our lives since God saved us. What does God look like? What does Jesus look like? What is it like to be in the presence of the Lamb face to face? Well, you'll find out, won't you? That he's glorious and that he's awesome. Okay? And he is awestruck. You cannot stand in this presence and be who you are today.
Nope.
Amen?
Amen.
And that old, dirty, nasty biker is cleaned up by the Holy Spirit of the living God. By the blood of the Lamb have been washed white and made clean and whole and perfect and pure and without sin. So is this bald-head, ugly, nasty man standing here preaching, cleaned up by the Spirit of the living God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Look at this. What he's about to introduce next, folks, it's what you and I have been waiting for all of our lives as Christians. We have been waiting to see Jesus.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We've been waiting for this glorious day when God will call all of his children home. We've been waiting for that trumpet to sound, Clinton.
Yes.
And for the angel to shout from heaven and Christ stand on the cloud and say, come home.
And you.
Jesus is waiting for his father to say, go get my children.
Thank you.
And now it has happened. This is the image that's being shown now. God has now gathered his children. Oh, come on, somebody. From the four winds. As it talks about in Matthew chapter 24. He said, I will gather my sons and my daughters. He said, I will gather my children from the four winds. He calls them elect. He said, I will have my angels go and get my children.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, somebody. It's celebration time. This ain't time to be upset or quiet or still. It's time to let your voice be heard.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what this is all about. God wants you to be vocal. Amen. If you're loud now, I sure hate to see you then. Woo! Y'all gonna raise the roof, right? Okay. Because that's what this is all about. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. There's a big old long fancy word that describes in the Greek about the bride going into the bride chambers. And it's poetic. It's a poem. And this funny word, I think Zoe and I, we tried to pronounce it the other day, and I spelled it out. And it still ties my tongue, so I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce it to you, okay? But anyway, it describes us being prepared to meet the bridegroom. Are you wondering if all of your efforts, all these years living for the Lord Jesus Christ, You're wondering if it's been in vain.
No.
No.
You're wondering if you have been doing the right thing all this time. I don't care if you've been saved one day or 1,000 years, okay?
Forever.
Everything that you have been doing has been ordained by the Holy Spirit Himself. And He has prepared you and I to meet the Lord Jesus Christ on this day.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you don't get to pick out your wedding garments. The Lord Jesus Christ have already picked out your rags.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Did I say that right? No. He has already picked out your attire.
Thank you,
okay?
Jesus.
And when you look at it, He's going to tell you what that attire is going to be. And there's no gown like it. There's no robe like it on earth. Okay? Because it's not made out of earthly material. So that lets you know that it's superior to anything that we've ever seen or ever had. Amen? Because God don't give any junk. And God has handpicked you and you and you and you and you all the way from the first day that Jesus saved people.
Thank you, Jesus.
All the way back to the first man when he went down and redeemed man. Okay? Those who still live righteous under the law, God got them in that number.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so now all of God's children, you wonder what old man Abraham looked like? You're going to see on that day. Amen?
Amen.
You want to know what great Moses looked like? You're going to see on that day. You want to see what old big mouth Peter looks like? You're going to see on that day. Amen?
Yeah.
You want to see what old bald head Zacchaeus look like? You're going to see on that day. Hello, somebody. You're going to get to see on that day what the men and women throughout the ages look like that belong to Jesus. Because they're all... Instead of going to JCPenney picking out an attire, or to David's bridal boutique and picking out, oh, I know what this stuff is. I'm not dumb. Okay? Instead of you going to Sam's Club buying your jeans like I do, I'm cheap, I can't help it. Okay? Or wearing hand-me-downs. Somebody gave me this 15 years ago. I'm still wearing it today, Don. Okay? It looked just as good today. Amen? Because the price tag on it was $250. I'm going to tell you, I would never pay that for a shirt. And so anyway, you don't get to pick out your attire.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ has already had His angels get your clothing together. Okay? And He said, blessed! Blessed! And the word is mercurial means that God has eternally laid out a blessing for you and for me. Because we have decided to follow His Son Jesus.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God. Somebody heard it. That means no matter what your life looked like now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has a purpose for you. Okay? As it said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know my plans that I have for you, not to cause you harm, but to give you a hope and a what? Future. Come on, somebody. That's what God has for you.
Amen.
And now it all comes together. Mamas, you know how you weep for your children? Christ has been weeping for us.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord.
And now, Dad, you know how kids make you mad and you say, I don't want that boy in this house anymore. But Jesus says, I've been waiting for you.
Come on home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for you. Okay? He says, come on up here. I've been waiting. See, Christian going to the gym and he's trying to get beef like me, okay? But you know what? It's not your earthly physique that God is interested in. God is interested in your heart that's been made after Jesus. Okay? And so now, don't y'all go to sleep on me. If I'm hot up here, y'all get hot. Now, listen to this. So it says, So the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Every time the Holy Ghost does something in you, there go your clothing. Hello, another thread goes on your garment. Every time the Holy Spirit gets you to do something, oh, there's another thread, Don. Just got another thread. Okay? Every time the Holy Spirit moves at you, you strike that cord. Uh-oh, Vicky got another thread. Okay, in her garment. Every time Tammy does something wonderful for God, there it is. Her garment is almost completed.
All right.
Hello, somebody. And you know, here's the thing. The Holy Ghost knows exactly what size you are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ain't no mistakes. When they alter, when the alterations are done in heaven, there's no mistakes about it. Okay?
You don't have to hold on to the sails.
And you don't have to stand on a little stool hoping somebody don't stick you with the push pins. Okay? Or whatever they call the needles and stuff. It's done correctly. So, here we have it. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Folks, we're a blessed people.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise him because he's worthy. You look out there and the world curse you.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curse you. And to through you, all the nations of the world, or all the families of the earth, will be blessed. How? By Jesus. That is a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're blessed people. Come on, somebody. We are blessed people.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, and it said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But it said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Ever ate angel food before?
Mm-hmm. Yum.
You did?
Angel.
Where'd you eat angel food at?
Angel food cake.
Angel food cake.
Father, give this Charlie extra measure of grace right now.
That's right.
Anyway, that's your wife. So, you are now about to be invited.
I ain't sitting by her for a reason.
To the greatest feast in all existence. And we see a small illustration of this in Exodus chapter 24, when God told Moses to call Aaron and his two sons and the 70 elders of Israel. And as you read that description, it tells you that they all sat down at the same table with God. And as they were sitting there, they noticed that under God's feet was nothing but blue sapphire.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, they realized that, whoa, we're not on earth anymore. Hello, somebody.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
And they're sitting there, and the Bible tells you and I that those 74 people, those 74 men, sat and they saw the God of Israel.
Thank you, Jesus.
And not only did they see him, Tamara, the Bible says that they sat and ate with God.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
And you know what's so mysterious? All of those brothers are in heaven right now.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
But a greater mystery. You ready for it? Neither one of them entered the promised land.
Mm.
Go back and study the text. Moses didn't enter. Aaron didn't enter. Aaron's two sons didn't enter. Because God said those who are 20 years old and older would not what? Would not enter. So that means all those 70 elders, because they were all older than the age of what? 20. They did what? They died where? In the wilderness. But yet they sat and ate with God.
Praise the Lord.
And in the future, those men are still with God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that was just a small glimpse of what God got in store for us. Are we ever going to get through this chapter? Somebody said, who cares? To God be the glory. Oh, I will, brother.
I know the Spirit's moving you today.
And so, as you look at this, glory be to God. He said, I fell at his feet. And the whole theme throughout this chapter is what? Worship! Worship God!
Praise the Lord.
Get in the habit, discipline yourselves now from this moment forward.
Jesus.
To worship God, no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, and no matter what you are doing.
Praise
from this moment forward, worship God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Get it out there. Let God know how you feel. When you feel good, blow your horn. Wah, wah, and shout hallelujah.
I love you, Jesus.
When you're a teenager in high school like you are, tell somebody that you love Jesus.
Thank you.
And so what if they get embarrassed? And the more embarrassed they get, the more vocal you become.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's time for God's people to step up to the plate.
Thank you.
And let the world know who we are. Okay? God did not put Christ through the penalty that he put him through on the cross so that you and I can sit and be dormant, so that you and I can sit and be quiet and made to be shut up by the world.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. It's not why we're here. We're here to make some noise for Jesus. Hello.
Praise the Lord.
So next time I see y'all in Winn-Dixie, y'all better be praising God. Y'all better be talking about the Lord. If not, I'm going to bust you out and go, where did your praise go? Huh? Who stole your worship? Because I ain't ashamed. How many of y'all have been in the store with me? Am I ashamed? Hello, somebody. I'm telling you, Mike, you know me. I'm not going to allow the devil to shut me up like that.
Praise the Lord.
Because he's worthy. So, we're now married to Jesus. We're now married to Jesus. We are now married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
You now have a wedding band on from Jesus. Men and women. Symbolically, it tells you and I that we have an eternal relationship with the Son of God. And it cannot be changed. You cannot divorce Jesus.
That's right.
You're forever married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you. You cannot divorce Jesus. And Jesus will not divorce you.
Yes.
And that's why it's very important that you and I hear the voice of God. We hear Jesus saying, I know you.
He does. I love you.
And you don't want to hear him say, as Matthew recorded in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew, depart from me, I never knew you. But you do want to hear him say, well done, my true and faithful servant.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
The table is shifted now. The marriage is over with. The celebration is over with. you and I have now gone and put on our battle dress. The Lord Jesus Christ has now put on his battle dress. Hello, somebody.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'm ready.
This now is the final showdown. Glory to God. This is the final showdown, folks. Are you hearing me?
Yes. Clear.
There will never be another battle. This is the battle of all battles.
Right.
And the commander-in-chief is not in the White House in Washington while his soldiers are dying on the battlefield.
Yes.
The commander-in-chief is on a white horse.
Yes.
And he's leading the battle. He's not a coward like those are in Washington hiding behind a desk. He is out front leading the battle.
He's not out playing golf either.
Right. Amen.
He is now on the white horse. And he's not the baby in a manger. And he's not the so-called timid Jesus where you spit in his face.
Not someone you want to mess with.
And force a crown of thorns on his head. This is not the same Jesus now.
Praise Jesus. Thank you.
What you're about to see now
Hallelujah.
Is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Folks, you need to know who your commanding chief is. You need to know who your king is now. You need to know who your Lord is. Who it is that you're serving.
Who your judge is.
Who your God is. He's now about to reveal his true identity to you.
Amen.
And you're there because of him. And there are no cowards in his army. There is no cowards in his army.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who's not afraid to stand up for him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse.
Thank you.
In the old days, the king would ride a white horse.
Yes.
David rode one. Solomon rode one.
It's going to be coming down on Main Street.
He's already here in the spirit. And he who sat on him was called faithful and what? And true. And in righteousness he judges and make war. This is not a time to sit down and eat the wedding cake.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is a time
to be sharpening your plowshares.
This is a time where people are going to die.
Yep.
This is time in which the prince of darkness will be conquered.
Hallelujah.
And every demon in hell
yes.
will be conquered.
Yes.
Red water and a lake of fire.
And every enemy of God will be conquered.
Amen.
Whether human or demon.
Yay.
It's about to happen. And every one of them in Washington, and every one of them in London, and every one of them in Saudi Arabia, or Japan, or South America, it doesn't matter what country they're in, that have been rejecting Jesus are now going to feel his wrath.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Of time.
And all the armies that the enemy has mustered up now is about to be wiped out.
Praise the Lord.
It's showtime now.
Yep.
Amen.
It's now time for the Lamb of God to exact his revenge on those who tortured him.
All right. Mm-hmm.
unless they subject themselves to his blood by receiving him as the Lord and Savior. If you don't have the mark of the Holy Spirit on your life, you're now an enemy of God. And if you're an enemy of God, Jesus is about to get you.
Take it, Jesus.
Let's go. We got 5 minutes. A whole lot can be covered. 9 minutes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And whatever the Holy Ghost says, that's what I'm going to give it. All right? So, it gives us another description of him. You see the first, in verse 12, you see the first description in chapter 1 of this blessed book, okay? And now we're seeing it here. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. People, this tell you that Jesus Christ is this sovereign God. He is the head over all the nations. That's what that represents. There is not one higher than him. On that day, every Muslim, every Jew, every Christian, no matter what you call yourself, will see him as
praise
he is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Are you understanding me?
Honor him.
Okay? You will see the sovereign Jesus Christ at that moment. You and I, we'll see him before then. Because we were celebrating with him before we come to this point. And we're celebrating with him now. Okay? Listen to the rest. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Remember what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And God has highly exalted him by giving him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is what? Is Lord. But he also, before Paul concluded that doxology, he told you and I this. He said, things in heaven, things on earth, and things in the earth. Guess what he just described? He described heaven, he described earth, and he described hell. That every knee, whether you are spirit or flesh, will bow down to Jesus.